is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, you want to look at page 867. Another shameless plug here, real quick. Earlier this week, if you're following along in your devotional, I think Ron Carter did a great job of explaining the role of John the Baptist in the Advent story. I, like he, had always gone like, what does John the Baptist have to do with Advent? He's an Easter person. But the whole concept is preparation, and that was John's message. We prepare at Advent just as we do prepare for Easter. And so the book of Mark starts essentially with the story of John the Baptizer. Much different than the other synoptic gospels, Matthew giving us that whole genealogy to establish the fact that Jesus is from the line of David. And of course, Luke's story of the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem and his birth. So I invite you to follow along today with us from the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading from the New International Version. I really like the way this translated today. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Here ends our reading.
Thank you, Steve. And that is not a shameless plug. It is a plug with pride because they've done a great job. You'll see as you go through. They've done a great job writing and reflecting on the characters of Advent. Young people, I'm going to tell you a story while you think about the question or the thought that I'm pondering today, and then we'll get back to it at the end together because I think it's timely. I suspect, right, as you walk through the halls or you go through, well, you don't walk through them now, do you? But when you walk through the halls or you know people who maybe you see virtually, and they never say or do anything that is out of bounds, right? Like, they're always in tow. Everything's perfect. They don't offend anyone. They are just right. Am I correct? Jacob's over there just sort of smirking like, yeah, you don't know my friends. Right. So what do you do in that moment when it's clear that they, as I like to say, have stepped in it, and you, as a member of the body of Christ, you have the gospel message. You know what to do. You know how to act. You know sort of the whole thing. You've been through it for quite a while. What do you do? And I'll tell you the story while you think. So you have like 3 minutes to think. Because that's a tough one for a lot of people. I read this morning a story, as Sue asked, is everything okay? Sue, this is what I was contemplating, this story when you walked past me. Young pastor in his first call goes to the home of a 90-year-old church member. She's coming back to church. She hasn't been to church in a long time. And he says to her, so, essentially, where you been? What's been going on for the last 75 years? And she says, well, you know, I was taking a break from the church. You know, it just wasn't time for me anymore. Not realizing that she had given him the out to just say, oh, well, we're glad to have you back at 90. He said, oh, really? What happened? She said, well, my husband and I, my former husband who has passed away, and I were came to the same church, and we asked the pastor, the rector of the church, if he would marry us. And he refused. And again, nice, easy ways, oh, well, we're glad to have you back. The young pastor presses on farther into the mess and says, really, was he previously married? What happened? And she holds up her left hand. And on her left hand, she's missing three fingers. She says, I was injured in a mill accident when I was much younger. And so the pastor at the time said, essentially, no finger, no wedding. Now he can really get out of it, right, the pastor? He can just say, we're glad to have you back. But he presses on even farther and just continues to... Until finally, this 90-year-old saint basically says, well, I'm going to die soon, and so I thought I'd give the church another chance. What do you do? What are you called to do when someone that you're encountering has stepped in it? They won't step in it to the extent of this young minister, I hope, in their life, but maybe they will. How do you present the gospel? How are you loving and kind to them? What are you going to do? You're not going to have that story, but you have your own. Because whether you've seen them on Microsoft Teams or on Zoom or wherever, you have seen it. You've witnessed it. What do you do? What do you do, Susie? I know you always give me a good answer back there. The rest will look at their feet, not Susie. She stares right at me. She'd think after all these years she'd learn. But whatever. I'm glad you don't. Susie, what would you do?
Well, I'd be talk to the person who, like, do you believe in God? And if they say, like, well, I'm, like, on the edge or whatever, I'd be like, oh, well, you know, me and his family,
yeah.
And I'd just be nice to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then maybe 2 days, 2 weeks go by, and I'd probably ask them again and be like, hey, you know, do you want to come to our church? Do you want to come to youth group or something?
Yeah. Well, you're more brave than I am, Susie. I would have not done any of that, but I was your age. But being kind to them, I appreciate that. Talk to them, sort of gently encourage them, and then eventually invite them to church. I will confess that even as I stand in the pulpit, I can confess before God on high in the hallways, I never would have invited anybody to church, even though I was called to. So you're a better person than I, Susie Roscoe. Jacob, what would you do? Because I know you know friends who've stepped in. How would you engage them? Because this is the season where... it's time to. How do you engage them?
Complete opposite end of the spectrum here. I'll probably get someone over to test my bounds. Just stop them with a blank face and a sarcastic remark.
Blank face, sarcastic remark. Done that too, actually. Because there's just sometimes we just don't know, sort of, like, how do you walk that back? That's difficult stuff. What do you think, Josie? By the way, you did a wonderful job playing at the flute today.
I think letting someone know that they overstepped up if there's anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's a good polite thing. I think handling the situation with redirecting embarrassment or anger, kindness is very good at a situation.
Yeah. So there is a way forward is the point. I won't make all of you suffer through that question like the three of them did. Because there, you know people who have stepped in it. You know people have said things they shouldn't have. It offends your Christian sensibility. You know what you're called to do. You have the message of the gospel in front of you. And as we get closer and closer to our time of preparation, our time of celebrating the incarnation, I encourage you, I challenge you, when that happens, even if it's virtually, to find a way to encounter them and share the gospel. Let's pray together as we go to God's word. Loving and gracious God, we are thankful to be together this morning. We are thankful to participate in worship as we get ready for the birth of the Messiah and the hope and the joy and the love and the peace that comes with us. With that, Lord God, be with us. Be with our young people as they too encounter people who have not always heard the message. And if they've heard it, they don't always respond to it. So give them the courage and the strength, the clarity to respond as you call them to. And we, Lord God, as we now prepare our hearts and minds for your scriptures, we pray that you take this passage, which we are familiar with, and once again use it to transform us, grow us, help us, so that we can go out into the community and share Christmas with others. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Today's scripture reading that I'm going to be using is out of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. You heard part of it with what Steve had to share with you this morning. Now we'll hear the rest of it in a larger context. It is found in your pew Bibles, if you follow with me, on 619. Again, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together again. Loving God, we thank you for these words from the prophet, for how they speak to us and challenge us and encourage us. Now, as we stop and consider them, we ask you, gracious God, speak to our hearts and to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. In the second week of our Advent preparations, I wonder if your life has taken on an aspect similar to that of the Israelites that we read about today from the prophet. Are you living with or living in, perhaps, a time that could be, if you were honest, characterized as self-inflicted sorrow? Self-inflicted sorrow. The book of Isaiah makes no mistake in portraying Israel's time in exile as a time of suffering and great sorrow. But this is a suffering that need not have been. This is a suffering that Israel brought upon itself by turning from God and God's ways. Like John the Baptist, which we read a little bit ago, we don't always like to read stories like this in Advent because they make us feel a little uncomfortable, and I would prefer Christmas cookies and carols to uncomfortable prophets. We'd rather take refuge when we think about what happened to these people in military or economic or geopolitical rationale to explain why the kingdom fell. But the Bible as God does, is having none of that. Israel has made her own bed, and now she has spent 70 years lying in it. That's what this story says to us. I wonder how that touches you, that discomfort or that pain. I wonder if there's a suffering or a pain in your life or the life of someone that you're close to or someone that you encounter regularly that need not have been. But it was self-inflicted, so it is. It may be a very visible place, like Babylon was for Israel, that you're working with and in. It may be that you know what it means intimately to face humiliation, to hear the gasps in your mind every time you see certain people because you wonder if they know what you know, but won't acknowledge that. Or maybe you're struggling with a secret known strictly to your heart, something you're terrified comes out. You could never share that with anybody. What would they think? It would end the friendship. It would break the relationship. You might be wondering on the second week of Advent if you'll be spending the rest of your time in some sort of hiding, making sure the proverbial mask does not slip. You may be feeling like you're living in your own kind of prison, of your own making, because most of the paths open to you lead somewhere, to some kind of a disclosure, an encounter, a moment that just tests the secret to its very limit. Could be you're finding yourself bursting into emotion and tears for no reason. Perhaps you're surrounded by people now who couldn't imagine or understand how the story could be reconciled if you were honest. If that is the case, if any of those are the case, in any level or place in your walk, then week two in Advent, we need to hear again the words of a people who live in their own self-inflicted sorrow. Verses 1 and 2. Comfort. O comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. She has served her term, that her penalty is paid. These are words not just directed to the Israelites in Babylon, but they are directed to us here in Cranberry. For like I said, we've been there too in our own lives. Now, history tells us that the Israelites were carried a long way, as you know, from their home by those same Babylonians. This practice was how the Babylonians subdued a people after they defeat them, broke their spirit completely, take them away physically from their home, and by taking them from their home, you remove the source of their hope that they had. That's the practice Israel was dealing with. Following their massive defeat, they were resettled in a new land far from their historic home that they knew, far from the religious center of their life and the covenant God made with them, far from the places where their family grew, their ancestors grew, and they prospered in and with God. This new home that Babylon carried them to was approximately a 30-day trip on foot from Israel. 30 days of walking in a caravan away from the place that God promised would be yours. 30 days of remembering you're not going home anytime soon. 30 days of remembering how the final battle wins with the blinding of the king and the slaughter of his family. 30 days to wonder, why is this happening to me? Or to us. It's a lot of time to let the isolation set in and ruin the soul. But again, it was something that could have been avoided. This is a wound that came from a lack of faithfulness. It's a wound that you and I as well feel in ourselves here in our context at times. It's a wound that makes us feel that no matter how much time we spend in church, no matter how long we volunteer, how committed we are, how passionately we sing our carols, we're just not getting there to where we want to be with God. Yet, there is good news in all of this gloom that I've laid out. God remembered and reminds them, quite poetically, that he has not forgotten them. God tells them in our text that every hill and mountain and road, every obstacle that comes between them as a result of the choices they made, choices to not be faithful, all of the obstacles that they've walked over for so long will be cleared so they can come home, both relationally and physically. Every rough plain, it says, every slight slope in the journey will be made flat so they can come home, home to God. You see, it doesn't matter whether the obstacle is physical or not. It doesn't matter how deeply the sin has been committed or not. God brings us home. He makes a way in Advent. What an image to remember in our Advent preparation. The pain that you feel, the self-inflicted sorrow that is a part of your everyday, God can and God will smooth the path so you can come home to Him this Christmas, regardless of how great you might think that journey is, or how daunting it could seem, or how painful it is. God is going to make it flat so you can come back. The smoothing of the plain is how God announces to Israel in our text that her exile is complete. It's the same words that God uses to reach us in our moments of pain. God says to them and to us, yes, you've sinned. Yes, there have been major consequences because of that sin. But I've forgiven you. I'm helping you. Yes, you put yourself here in this long and difficult way from where we were supposed to be, you and I. Yes, this was not my plan for you or for us, but I'll flatten out whatever lies between here and there so we can be together again. Yes, you're worn out. And in many ways, you're as much hurt as those you have hurt. But this is not going to be done by your strength. Yes, the sin is terrible, God tells us. The things of God's holiness always do shine a dark, hard light onto us. But God is providing the way back in Advent for us. And when our strength fails, God even says, I will carry you when you cannot walk. That is the good news of Advent that we find in the John the Baptist prophecies today. It seems only to remind the people of how greatly they've sinned and how dire the consequences. But there is always more from God if we're looking. Advent is not only about joy and passion and welcoming the newborn king into creation, or about presents given in love by you and your family. Certainly that's a part of it, and I look forward to some of that later this month. Certainly you and I feel joy being together in this way, singing together in this way. But more is happening here for us. Rather, Advent, in a world of social distancing and masks, Advent in a world of political unrest and pandemic that is not going away anytime soon, Advent is about noticing and feeling God's care for you. It is about noticing how much God does on your behalf. When the people around you remind you consistently and frequently that you've messed this up totally, that there's no way back for you, nothing to hope in, there's no way to get back to where God calls you to be. God instead is providing a new path this season for you. I wonder how needed those words are in the life of the church today. I wonder which of you is mired in the self-inflicted sorrow that God alone can heal. Who do you know who's feeling that? Who's enduring that today? Our passage ends with a reminder of healing that comes because the one who noticed the sin in the first place is not acting on our behalf. God, the God who makes the pathway safe so we can come home to Him this Christmas, has watched over the whole world, it says, and found the people in total isolation, total separation, and helped them to find their way back home. It's up to us, though. It's up to you today to share those words with the people you know. Maybe the people in your home. Maybe the people you'll meet tomorrow morning. I don't know. Or maybe just remind yourself in the quietness of our worship time that the self-inflicted wounds that we cause are healed by God this Advent season. Let us pray together. Loving and thankful, gracious God, we thank you that we are together today. Together around your scriptures, together with your word. As we continue in our worship of you, holy God, be with us, encounter us. Help us to find that quiet moment where we can recognize what you're doing this season in our life, in our families, and in our church's life. And as we recognize that and as we share it, we will give you the honor and the praise and the glory, for the child that is to come is being born so we can go home. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to the word of the Lord, will you stand as you are able, as we come and confess in one voice what we have come to believe? Let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we continue in our worship of God, before we share the concerns which came as part of our virtual worship service that may have made their way forward already, where have you seen God at work? Bert.
It's usually pretty boisterous and raggedy.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Anyway, I learned that spirituality is contagious, because whenever it was time for Carl and I to go home, we don't bond very well together because we don't share the same interests. Carl, my son.
Yeah. It's a wonderful story, Bert. Thank you for sharing it with us, of going hunting and how you and Carl connected. And I just wrote down on there in very, very large letters, if you come up, you can see it says, "Can we pray?" It brought us to tears. So it was a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Where have you seen God at work? Denise. Bring them on up here. Come on. We let everybody see them. Don't sit in the back row. We're not Presbyterian right now.
The kids and the adults did a wonderful job. We still have like 7 to do next week.
Okay.
But the kids did the time.
I like them.
So did the adults. So we would love to have you come help us next week if you, this one, the Carters, Ron and Kathy. And this one came from the Youngs. The kids have all. So please, if you have a little bit of time next week, Sammy summed it up. Somebody said, why don't we just send the blankets to the rescue mission? And Sammy said, because there's a lot of love involved in finding these for the people. So we pray that when we send these to the Newcastle Rescue Mission, they will feel the love from our people here and the kids and the adults that have taken the time. So if you have a little bit of time next Sunday, we would love to have you come help us. So, thank you.
Thanks, Denise, for sharing the blankets. There is wisdom in that comment, Sammy, about loving the blankets. And thanks for sharing your story with us, Denise, about the gentleman who took that big piece of furniture. Those things can be a bear to move. Where have you seen God at work? Tim.
This story is just shows how everything is connected with God.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother died clear back in 1975, but she had a sister who died in the flu epidemic in 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And when she in 1910, she had a child, and that child grew up and became Bob Hodson, who we had a candle for, that was his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sure everybody's totally lost by now. but anyway, somebody who made my cousin Bob, who was in his 80s, mm-hmm. he passed away here a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the week before, I got a box in the mail. And I thought, I wonder what this is. And I opened it up, and it was a Bible. And the Bible belonged to the woman who died in 1918 in the flu epidemic. It was her Bible and the sister of my grandmother. And in there, that Bible's passed down to Paul Watson's mother. And I see you out there trying to take notes. This is one never going to get this history.
I got it, mostly.
In the Bible, when I opened up the Bible, which was in amazingly pretty good shape, the cover was sort of deteriorated. But she got that Bible as a Christmas gift in 1913. And in the back of that Bible, there was an envelope. And just showing, you know, that Bible's over 100 years old. I guess it's about 107 years old. And it's been through many hands in the family, and now I have it. And that Bible came to me from Texas. And it just shows through time and distance, God doesn't forget. And there's a little bit of everything there. So that, sorry for the confusion and the dates and all that.
No confusion, no issue there. We appreciate that story.
Yeah, the Bible it looks just like one of our church pew. We probably stole that.
That's funny. We found my dog in Texas last year.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, it was a big one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mentioned it. Yeah. No, this was just a little one. It fit in a little box. But and it's amazingly well preserved inside. It has, you know, color illustrations. Yeah, she gave it to her mother. I think somebody bought it for Christmas 1913, because she was only three. But the
familial gift.
And oddly enough, yesterday is the anniversary of December the 5th, 1918, is when she died in the flu epidemic. And she was only in her 20s. So.
Thanks for sharing that story with us today.
It
may be a long story, but it does remind us that everything is connected, isn't it, in God? And I have a box of family Bibles, as you're talking about, that I will someday saddle my children with, and they will have to deal with it. And know that if they don't take care of them, I will watch and not let them into heaven one day. So I will not allow them in. But at any rate, thanks for sharing that with us, Tim. It is a very touching story. Where have you seen God at work, Bert?
Well, I was going to say this for Joy.
We'll do that now, too.
Since Tim just mentioned that story, I have two older aunts, and one of my dad's son passed away Saturday night. She was in a lot of pain. I know we're in Friday, so jump back in.
It's okay. Sure.
So I know where she is. She's in a good place.
That's right.
Because she said that. I don't know what we were talking about. She just said, how can you look at nature and not think that God exists?
Thanks for sharing that with us, Bert. As we move to our time of joys and concerns, as we're transitioning, we received a couple, as I've already said, from our virtual connection. First, from the Cardillos, David and Marianne asked us to keep Rachel and Corey and the soon-to-be baby in our prayers as they are going to the hospital. They have entered the hospital on Tuesday. So, baby is coming. Keep the family in your prayers in that time. We also received a prayer concern from Janine over the virtual connection, asking us to keep Josh's husband and his family in our prayers. Both of their parents passed away within a week of each other from COVID-19, and they are faced with decisions about how to care for a handicapped brother. So we will keep that family in our prayers in this difficult time of grief and transition and decision. Are there others, Rachel? She's been back there doing this on me when I look up at her. So.
Yeah.
Sure they are. We'll keep them in our purse. Thanks, Rachel. Are there other joys and concerns today? Frank.
Our co-worker, Sue, who's
97-year-old father passed away last week, but the interesting news there is that she told me that it's only within the last year that he accepted Christ. So a long life, but a life that needed to be long for him to finally accept Christ before he died.
We are glad to hear he accepted Christ. We will keep Sue and her family and friends in our prayers as they grieve her father's passing. Steve.
Julie and I would like to offer a prayer of joy and thanksgiving for our youngest son, Matthew. He turns 35 on Thursday this week. And when we think back to the early days, for those that don't know, he has ASD. What a challenge it was, he's doing so well now.
Wonderful.
We're just so proud of him.
Absolutely. Well, please wish him a happy birthday from Plains on Thursday this week. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. Are there others? Kathy.
Can you pray for Amy, for Victoria, who did get released from the hospital last week, and they made their way back home at some point. I'm not sure when. They were supposed to come back on Tuesday when we were getting all that snow, so it might have been
sure.
After. And also for Tyler, who was out of the hospital and then back in. Not related to his liver, but they think it's his medication, and he's having this issue with delirium.
Yeah, yeah. We will keep Tyler in our prayers. He was out of the hospital, and he's now back in for Victoria. She may be home. We're not. She should be home. Was to be released on Tuesday in the midst of all that snow that we got. And, of course, Amy, as she continues her fight with cancer. Nancy.
Sure.
We will keep Jeanette in our prayers this week. Bert.
My aunt I was talking about a little bit ago. Prayers for her family.
Sure.
The sister and the brother are not at war with each other. So it's not a good thing. And prayers for their situations.
We will keep them in our prayers this morning, your aunt and their situation as they go through grief, certainly. Sue.
I'd like us to keep Kay in our prayers. I don't know if there's any update, but we need her to know we care about her.
I have not heard any update. She had some testing done on...
I talked to her this morning.
Denise, help us.
And she said that she has an appointment Monday with a specialist. They're sending her on to a specialist. It's a consultation with this guy. They're not still 100%. But she's
going to
go see a specialist.
Yeah. Thanks for the update on Kay. We appreciate that. She did have testing on Friday, and now Monday she will be going to see a specialist. Thank you. Steve.
Continued prayers for my niece who's battling breast cancer. I believe this is her last chemotherapy on Monday. Prayers everything goes well, and chemo did what needs to be done. Next surgery.
We will keep your niece in our prayers as she continues her battle with breast cancer, hoping that this is the last needed chemotherapy. Are there others today? Julie.
I'd ask for prayers for my friend Vicki Watson. Her mother died earlier this week. And she's going through chemo right now.
We will keep Janet's friends and family in our prayers as she has returned to be with her Maker. Thank you. Mary.
Just prayers for all of our kids. The youth who have to do the virtual learning, it's certainly not easy. It's certainly challenging. I just pray for all of them. I know that there's just a lot of hurdles that they have to face.
Yeah. There are a lot of hurdles, you're right, that the young people, our youth, our children have to face virtually learning, as do the teachers who are caring for them. You all work very hard, and we really appreciate what you're doing. Are there other joys and concerns today? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we thank you that you brought us together this morning in worship. We thank you that you are at work in our lives, in moments we can speak of, in moments that are challenging for us, moments that we can articulate well, and those ones that bring us to tears just thinking about. We know you are there. We can sense and feel you at work. And we give you praise, Lord God, for being there for us when we need you. We lift up to you today, as Mary reminded us, the children, the youth, the young people who do have so many virtual hurdles to go over as they're trying to learn. It's challenging for them. They may say, oh, we're making the best of it, but we understand it's hard. So God, be with them. Because they're teachers. As they're trying to communicate these lessons to the children without being able to be next to them, hand on the shoulder, walking them through this, walking them through their struggles. We pray for them today. We pray for the friends and family of Janet, the mother of Julie's friend Vicky. We pray that as they go through their time of grief this week, you would watch over them and comfort them in the midst of it. We think of Steve's niece who has been battling breast cancer, and as her treatments come to an end, we pray that they have been successful. We ask them to be successful in her life. God, give her the strength and stamina for that fight as she goes through it. We remember Kay today. She had testing done on Friday and now prepares to meet with the specialist on Monday. Watch over her. Give the specialist the answers to the concerns that are troubling them. Them to find a course forward for Kay. And of course, we pray for peace in whatever they do, as we pray for peace for all of these needs and joys that are in our hearts. We think of Bert's Aunt Jeanette, and we ask that you still have time, even though she's in her 90s, we know you still have time to move in her life, to quicken her soul, to bring her to you. God be with her today. We pray for Tyler, who has been out of the hospital, now back in potentially with the medication issue. We pray that that is resolved for Tyler, that his life gets back to its normal ebb and flow. Watch over him. For Victoria, we are glad to hear she is out of the hospital this week. We pray continually for a speedy recovery for her. And for Amy, as she battles esophageal cancer, we pray not just for Amy and for her family, but for those who care for her, that all would come together and minister your love and support, your healing in her life. We give you praise, gracious God, for Matthew as he turns 35 this week. Bless him. Help him to know that we are excited for him. We pray for Julie and Steve as they minister love to him back home. We think of Frank's co-worker, Sue, whose 97-year-old father passed away. And in the midst of that grief comes the revelation that he has accepted you. He is with you this day in paradise. And we pray that that news would help his friends and family as they go through grief in their own way, to know they will see him once again. We pray for Rachel's grandmother's brother, who has experienced a loss this week. We pray for comfort and care to be with them as well. We were glad to hear, Lord God, of the story that Bert shared with us from his aunt, who said, how can you look out at nature and not see God at work? Lord God, bless them. Now, as they go through their own time of grief, we pray for the family. We trust you to their care. We lift up David and Mary Ann and Rachel and Corey and the soon-to-be baby boy, that as they gather this week, may it be a safe and joyous time for them. Guide this new family, order their steps, and guide their lives so that all may be done according to your will. And we pray for Josh's husband and his family as well today, Lord God, as their parents have passed away within a week of each other from COVID. And there are hard decisions that are on the horizon for them. But God, we know that you're there. So give them wisdom and understanding in the midst of the comfort and care they seek and need. Help them to know and experience and feel you there. And Lord God, for all the concerns which remain in our hearts, the things that trouble us each day, we give them to you. We lean them back upon you and trust you. Now continue to watch over us in worship. Keep us safe this week and return us back. And hear us in the confidence now of the children of God as we pray together as we were first taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.